Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening. Ron Lim with the talk show. Are we on? Yeah, we're on.
Yeah.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Ron Lim, co-host of the Ask L radio talk show about relationships. And
This is Al.
If you would like to call in, get your pens out, 530-605-4567. Please call. Questions. Chime in. Or you can listen to us at KCNR1460.com, the green live button.
You can text in to...
Or text in to...
707-499-8999.
Or you can message either one of us on Facebook. Ron Lim or Ask Al. Now, first of all, I have to tell you who our sponsor of the month is. Katie Garrett, who is in the studio with us tonight. Welcome, Katie.
Hello.
From Heavenly Donuts. By the way, did you know that you can get donuts delivered by Grubhub or
DoorDash.
Free on them the first time. Well, not the donuts.
The donuts aren't free, but the delivery.
On the first delivery from them. And they have a drive-through window 24/7.
And a walk-up.
Yeah, the walk-up 24/7 and 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the lobby. What do you have besides donuts? I know you have donuts.
We have breakfast sandwiches, croissant sandwiches with ham or sausage.
They're so good.
Muffins. We have muffins.
You're open 24/7. I can go there after this and get a croissant.
You can go get a croissant. Crocodiles.
Okay. Dinner. All right. So, thank you, Katie. Moving on. What are we going to do tonight?
Tonight, hey, we have an incredible guest with us. She's local. She's an author. Her name is Debbie Sprague, and we're very honored to have her here with us. We're talking tonight around PTSD.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we also have Jennifer Morgan here, too.
Jennifer Morgan is here.
Hi.
Immoral support.
Yes, she's here, too. Well, welcome, Debbie.
Did you say immoral?
That would be
I like that.
Yeah, so we have Debbie here tonight, and we've had an incredible response to our posting on covering PTSD through the holidays. And as you know,
a lot of responses
this week as well. And, you know, just kind of putting my own story out there slightly, and then the responses came and deciding to go in this direction. And that is
through the holidays.
Yeah, through the holidays, yes. For now, and that's how we... got in contact with Debbie. I read her book and phenomenal. She's going to share tonight what's coming up for tonight. She's going to share her personal story. She's going to touch on why people might be suffering from PTSD and why they have a difficult time during the holidays, what you can do as a friend and a loved one for someone suffering from PTSD to make your own holiday season better. Lack of support, compassion, and understanding of PTSD from friends, family, and communities can be a problem. How can we help? So she's going to touch on some pretty incredible topics tonight. So I am going to shut up now, Debbie, and turn it over to you. And thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I always like to start my story in 1990. At that point, I had the life that I dreamed of. I was married. I had two beautiful children, a boy and a girl. Lived in a nice neighborhood. I had a really rewarding job as executive director of a local nonprofit serving senior citizens and disabled adults. I was healthy. I was happy. And life was good. Then my bubble burst. My marriage ended, and I became a single working mother. And in 1993, my 10-year-old son was diagnosed with cancer, and 5 horrible months later, he was gone. But my life went on. It had to. I had a 7-year-old daughter that needed me. But the job I had became more and more difficult, not just because of the loss of my son, but because of all the sadness that surrounded me. Seeing people that were sick, suffering, hungry, poor, struggling to pay for essentials became more difficult for me each passing day. But in God's perfect timing, I received an unexpected job offer, and I'd be working with healthy, happy people helping them to fulfill life dreams by working for a travel company that specialized in escorted tours for senior citizens.
Wow.
And that was just the change that I needed at that point in my life. And in February, 2000, I had another unexpected surprise. Standing in a parking lot in town, pouring down rain, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got introduced to a new employee. We looked up at each other as we were shaking hands, and that was it. Love at first sight. I became a believer in love at first sight.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, who was 13 at the time, who had never liked anybody I had dated, it would be like, I'd invite somebody over for dinner. When I took the last bite, she would say, okay, time to go home. But she really liked Randy. And so 8 months later, we were married.
Wow.
And we had so many things in common, and we had big dreams of a wonderful life together. In those first few years, it was everything I could have expected. I felt loved. I felt cared for. We laughed and we played and we were best friends. But by early 2004, everything began to change. He began having nightmares, screaming in Vietnamese, and I'd wake up to him punching me in the face, kicking me, and using profanity that I'd never heard him use in his waking hours. He became hypervigilant. He would roam the house at all hours of the night, and I was more afraid of what he might do than of any stranger that might come in. He was also unable to sleep. He was afraid his nightmares might come back. And I couldn't sleep either, no matter how hard I tried or how tired I was. So sleep deprivation took a toll on both of us. He was always on edge and having angry outbursts for no apparent reason. And that left my daughter, who was then a teenager, walking on eggshells all the time. He'd go days without talking to me. It was like he was in a deep, dark cloud. He became numb and withdrawn, and he avoided social activities, anything that involved people or being in a crowd. So that left me either staying home or having to go places alone. And with all of those things happening, my resentment started to grow, and with it, anger. And it was a level of anger I had never in my life felt before. He had lost interest in every aspect of our relationship. I was depressed. I was grieving the loss of my husband. And my self-esteem was totally shattered. But I was also feeling guilty because, you know, being a woman, it had to be my fault. There had to be something I was doing wrong and something that I needed to do to fix it. If I could just be better or if I could just try harder. But my husband had changed, and those changes affected both me and my daughter. He was totally out of control, and he was hurting everyone close to him. He began having physical pain along with his mental anguish. He began to self-medicate with alcohol and morphine. His life was heading down a path to sure destruction, and I had absolutely no idea how to stop it or how to help him. And me, it seemed like overnight I'd gained over 50 pounds. I was embarrassed to go out in public anymore. And the job I had, I was out in the public all the time. That was just part of who I was. But I was afraid to see anyone that used to know me because I didn't know myself anymore. Depression set in, and I just felt flat. I couldn't smell the flowers. I couldn't taste a great glass of wine or smell a good cup of coffee.
Wow.
I felt like I was in prison and that somebody had thrown away the key. I lost all my focus and my motivation. It took me days to do things that should have taken hours. Mm. I was grieving the loss of things in my life, and I was losing the grief of my grieving the loss of my husband and the loss of my marriage. My husband had been replaced by a total stranger. And so many parts of our marriage were gone, and I just didn't see any hope for them to return. And I also grieved for those. And all the dreams, my future, they were totally gone.
Well, hey, Debbie, want to thank you so much for what you're sharing right now. We do have to pause right here and take a break, but we'll continue with where you're leaving off here as soon as we come back from the break. And thank you so much.
Come back, folks. Hang on.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights. Taking place November 18th through January 8th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Redding Garden of Lights at Turtle Bay, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
All right, we are back with the Ask Elle Show. This is Ron Lim, your co-host. If you're listening, please call in if you want at 530-605-4567, or you can listen to us at kcnr1460.com. Hit the green live button and listen to us. We are brought to you by our favorite donut shop, Heavenly Donuts.
Best Donuts.
At the corner of Pine and Shasta. Yes, the best. Oh, and croissants and other breakfast goodies.
Breakfast sandwiches?
Yeah.
Alligators.
Alligators.
Oh, yeah, alligators.
I love
yeah,
those.
All those.
Stuffed with cream.
We happen to have our sponsor right here sitting in with us tonight, Katie Garrett. Thank you, Katie. They also have a drive-thru window 24-7, a walk-up window 24-7, which is unique.
Yeah.
And lobby opens from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, cool. All right, so we're back to the show. We have a special guest.
I also want to just throw back in there, if you want to, if you don't want to call in and you're shy, you can text my phone number, 707-499-8999. You can text in a question if you want, or on Messenger for Ron Lim, or Ask Elle.
Sorry, I forgot that.
That's okay. It's okay. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Or Jennifer Morgan. She's here, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you
Jennifer
Morgan.
Me, too. Yeah. She's amazing. We love having Jenner. So we had to interrupt you, Debbie, and I apologize for that. Your story is, I mean, we're all in silence here listening to your story. It's compelling. It's crushing. So please continue on where we so rudely interrupted you.
Okay. Well, I talked a little bit about my daughter, but Randy's PTSD really took a toll on her as well. It ruined some of the most important events in her young life. And when she left for college, she never returned to spend a night in her bedroom again. She came back to Reading, and she stayed with her dad. But when she would come back to our house, she would stay for dinner, and she'd stay for a couple hours. But she explained to me that she was too afraid to stay any longer.
That's a big loss for you as a mom, another loss.
Yes, a huge one. Because all the angry episodes that he had had in front of her and her friends, that they'd just been totally innocent victims of, you know, sitting, watching a movie and just have these explosions. I am going to step aside from my story right now and just say, fortunately, that was healed. My husband eventually asked forgiveness for them. He apologized, and so they ended up healing that relationship, which was very amazing. Yeah,
thank you. Good.
So we had an angel come to visit my husband in a parking lot. We had a thing about parking lots. So we were
here.
We were at Mount Shasta Mall, and of course he's a man. He didn't want to go in with me, so he was hanging out out in the parking lot by his truck. He had his Vietnam vet hat on, and he saw another Vietnam vet walking by. And my husband yelled out and said, "Welcome home, brother." Mm. And this man came over and starts visiting with him. And he had a Purple Heart pin on his hat. And this man started asking Randy some very pointed questions. And he asked Randy if he was getting any help from the VA. And Randy said, I don't need any help. I'm fine. Mm. And this man said, "No, you're not." Mm. The next morning, this man showed up at our front door. And he took Randy down to the Veterans Service office, walked him in the door, and said, "This man needs help." And sure enough, he did.
Wow.
So he was diagnosed with PTSD. 30 years after the Vietnam War, it came back to visit him. And neither one of us had any idea what all these behaviors were coming from. But he was also diagnosed with a lot of health issues from Agent Orange exposure. And fortunately, he immediately got into treatment. He immediately got into therapy, individual therapy, group therapy, and got on medication. And the important thing was is that he wanted to get better, and he was willing to do the work. And that's really an essential part of PTSD treatment. But he was told that the best that he could hope for was a 50% reduction in his PTSD symptoms. And that he was also told the longer that you go without treatment, the harder it is for the treatment to be effective. And here he had been over 30 years. What no one told us when he started treatment was that things would get much, much worse before they got better. So just imagine 30 years of suppressed memories exploding like a vicious volcano. So life became even more difficult than it had been. I mean, it was difficult to start with, but then the therapy made it even worse. I know it was making, you know, it would help him eventually, but at that point in time. Yeah. And it was really affecting me as well. So one day when I was kind of at my lowest of low, I confided in Randy that I really didn't care about my life anymore. It wasn't that I wanted to end my life. It was just I really didn't care if it did end. I'd taken care of my 10-year-old son doing his losing battle with cancer. I took care of Randy's mom with her losing battle with cancer. She had moved to our home, and I had taken care of her. But never had I felt so lost and alone as I was at that point. And I just kind of wanted to sink inside my mattress and just kind of pull my covers over my head and just disappear. Mm. So the next day, Randy came back to me, and he looked at me and he said, "You need to find help. I can't help you." So I did go and I sought professional help. I actually went to two different therapists, and both of them told me the same thing. First of all, they told me that I had PTSD as well, and they told me, "He's broken. He can't be helped. You are young. You've got a good future in front of you. You just need to walk away. Oh, you just need to divorce him." Hmm. But that wasn't the answer that I was looking for, because I knew that stranger was the man that I fell in love with, and sometimes a glimpse of him would come back. And besides, it wasn't his fault. He was 19 years old when he went to war. Experiencing horrors that would rock anyone. So what I wanted was I wanted to learn how to help this man and how to live in this new world that had been dealt to me. And I wanted to learn how to survive and to thrive without completely losing myself like I had already done. So I thought carefully about what the therapist had told me, and I decided to walk away. from the therapists.
Smart. Brave, courageous, and strong.
Thank you. So I started researching and reading everything I could possibly find on PTSD, because at that point in time, there wasn't, thankfully today, there's a lot more out there about PTSD, and a lot more people are knowledgeable about it and accept it as being a real thing. But at that point in time, there still wasn't much available.
What year is this?
Approximately. This was about 2010.
Wow. So even in 2010, there still wasn't the advances in PTSD.
Well, actually, it was before that, because he was diagnosed in 2004. So it was like in the late, like, 2000. Oh, he was diagnosed in 2004, so it was in, you know, 2008, yeah. That era. But in it was 2010 when I finally found an online group called Family of a Vet. And that really was a lifesaver for me, because I found I wasn't the only one in the world that was suffering from this, whatever it was, this thing I was suffering from. And I found out about secondary PTSD, what can happen when you are living with and close contact with a loved one that has PTSD.
So you were experiencing prolonged and ongoing trauma as a result of what he was suffering in that.
Exactly. And a lot of his triggers, like his trigger of loud noises or being in a crowd or needing to sit with his back to a wall in a restaurant so he could see the whole restaurant. I would help him make sure those things happened, that we wouldn't go to places with those situations. But pretty soon I noticed that when I was out someplace by myself, I had the same triggers.
Interesting.
Yeah, so many of his triggers, you know, became my triggers.
Now, was it because you were learning from him, or was the PTSD showing up in you in such a way that was creating this aversion for people and aversion for stimulating situations?
I think I was taking on the same symptoms that he had.
Mm. Wow.
And that makes sense, because when you're out in public with him and he's going through trauma in his mind and you're having to change what you're doing and, you know, sit in a different location or be around certain people, you know, you're having to do the same thing. So your brain is building the same habits that he has. Your brain is identifying that, you know, place where you sit, if you're not sitting with your back against the wall, your brain's also identifying that now as a bad place, the same as his. And so, you know, we get the vicarious trauma, the secondary trauma, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's how your his traumas become your traumas.
Exactly. So when I was finally able to connect with other people that were in my same situation, and since this online group, I really didn't at that point meet any of them in person. But the woman who had started the organization told me what I learned 2 years ago from a Vietnam vet wife was, if you want to help yourself, you need to reach out and help others. So I took her advice, and I started volunteering with that organization, and that just grew. I started helping them with their blog radio show, which was broadcast all over the world, writing articles. I decided to learn as much as I could so I could help other people. And so that's what has brought me to where I am today. And I did learn an awful lot of things, and I want to share some of those things. The biggest thing I learned was what most people have a problem with is having support and understanding from their family, their friends, and their community. Yeah. And as we approach the holidays, I know the holidays were always a very difficult time for us, but through all the years, I learned how I could help my husband, how we could have a better holiday.
We're going to, with that thought right there, Debbie, hold on to that thought. This is a good place for us to pause. We have to take a break. Thank you very much for, again, being here and sharing all this information with us.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
All right, we are back with the Ask L Show, and this is Ron Lynn, co-host, speaking. If you've been listening, we've been talking about PTSD, and we'll go back into it in a minute. We have a caller, too. Hold on. If you want to call in, call 530-605-4567, or you can call or text Ask L's phone.
707-499-8999.
Yes, and if you want to listen to us, go to kcnr1460.com, hit the live green button, and you can listen in. We are brought to you by our favorite donut shop in town at the corner of Pine and Shasta Streets, Heavenly Donuts.
And they are heavenly.
Oh!
We did not plan that.
Did you practice that?
No.
Wow, that was pretty cool.
I mean, it's true.
Well, did you know?
Thank you.
They have a walk-up window.
Walk-up window. They have a drive-up window and a walk-up window.
They have both. Open 24/7, and the lobby's open 5 a.m. to 8 p.m., and they have lots of other good breakfast stuff besides donuts.
Yes.
So, we have
a caller.
We're back.
Yeah.
With our special guest, Debbie Sprague. And a couple of our friends, Katie Garrett and Jennifer Morgan, are here. And we have a caller. So we're going to take the caller first before we get back to Debbie. And his name is Derek.
Yeah.
Hello, Derek.
Eric.
Eric?
I just want to say you guys do a great show.
Thank you.
I listen all the time. And I just want to put a little perspective from a man in his 40s. PTSD is a term that we're afraid of. Trauma is a word that we're afraid of. We say that's not us. So when we go through something and we have to adapt our lives, we say that's somebody else. So that's not us. But it is. It's what we're going through, but we are too manly and we can't admit it.
So when you say it's somebody else, do you mean you project the problem as coming from somebody else?
Right, and it's not us. That's not happening to us. We're men.
Mm-hmm.
We're too manly for that. We can't accept that part of us. So when something's going wrong in our family that we can't fix, it's not trauma to us. We can't fix it, and we're going to fail, and we're going to do strange things that we don't understand. But it's trauma. It's us failing, and it's us not accepting it. So there are things that we eventually have to end up dealing with, especially during the holidays, and maybe we have to adapt on who we have to spend it with. Mm. And we don't understand that as trauma or PTSD. We don't understand that.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be the people we love and trust. So it's difficult for us.
That's a really good point. That's a really good perspective, and I appreciate you bringing that out. You know, it's interesting about the avoidance that is just a result of being a man and who society says you're supposed to be as a man.
And it's a lot for us to deal with if you told us that was what we were going through. It's a lot for us to deal with, and we don't want to deal with that. So it. You know, I just wanted to put that into perspective.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
This Thanksgiving, and that is why, because I've gone through this type of thing, and I'm with great friends.
So part of your healing process is to avoid the people that, family members that aren't supportive, but are maybe possibly part of the trauma.
Absolutely. And making a new life and happiness. And I love your guest, and she's
awesome.
To connect with that. She's doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're back to Debbie.
Back to Debbie. And we rudely interrupted you again. And please carry on.
Well, first, I just want to congratulate the caller for figuring out a way to enjoy your holidays and have the support that you need and be in the spot that you need to be in. It takes, everybody doesn't figure that out. So congratulations for that. And thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. So I want to start off by just talking about why people suffering from PTSD have a more difficult time during the holidays. One of the reasons, I'll start with the veteran population because that's kind of what I know the best. But one of the big ones is survivor guilt. A lot of veterans feel like, why should I be enjoying this holiday? Why should I be enjoying this beautiful meal and being in a nice warm house when people who I served with either no longer with us or they had devastating injuries and they're not able to enjoy these things that I am enjoying.
Yeah. Such a good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
Yeah. And another one in the veteran arena is, you know, our veterans, many of them spend a lot of holidays away from home in a very difficult situation, in a war zone. And then when they're at home and trying to enjoy in a normal setting, they can't get those memories out of their thoughts.
That holiday is forever embedded in that trauma.
Right. And I think this next one kind of touches on what our caller was talking about, and it's that sometimes people suffering from PTSD don't really understand why, and they really can't understand or explain why they're not enjoying the holiday, why they can't find joy. They know it's difficult for them, but they can't put a finger on what exactly it is that's causing that problem. So they don't understand, but then a family member who's trying their best to make everything beautiful and goes all this work to make the holiday nice, and this person with PTSD is just kind of not enjoying it, they won't participate, and it just makes a lot of conflict because neither one of them are understanding. The person with PTSD doesn't understand why they can't find joy, and the person that are trying to create that joy don't understand why it's not working.
Oh, yeah, some really good points there.
Yeah, and then just some of the typical triggers for people with PTSD is, you know, being around loud noise, being around crowds. Those are things that are triggers, they make you uncomfortable, and so it's hard to enjoy the holidays when you're just faced with all of that on a constant basis. We had, with my husband and I, a number of holidays before I understood what was going on with him. There was a lot of anger on both of our parts. There was a lot of disappointment. There was, because either we'd get ready to go to a function and we'd get to the door to walk out the door and he'd change his mind. And I either had to decide, okay, am I going to stay home or am I going to go out without him? And either way, it was bad. If I went alone, then I'd be mad because I didn't understand why he wasn't going. I took it personal. And if I stayed home with him, I'd be mad because I was missing out on the activity.
And then when you're out, people are probably asking you, where's Randy?
Exactly. And that was so hard because, like, Christmas dinner. Well, I'll say Thanksgiving because that was a biggie. Thanksgiving, you know, you get to your family's house and the table's set and here's the empty place. Where's Randy? Why didn't he come? And trying to explain why he didn't come. When, at that point, I really didn't understand. But eventually, when I did understand, one of the most important things I was able to do with my family was educate them on Randy's PTSD. Once I knew what was going on and I learned about it, before a holiday, I would sit down and talk to my family about it. And I think a lot of us might have grown up with this where we weren't really, we didn't really know a lot of about mental illness. So we kind of didn't, and my mom and dad were that way. It's like, it doesn't exist. If it does, we don't want to see it. We don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So when
don't air your laundry.
It was kind of like a dirty word. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So the only way I could finally get my mom and dad to understand that my husband had a mental health condition diagnosed, I said, well, you know, the VA is giving him disability pay. And do you know how many doctors it took to examine him and give him that diagnosis before they approved it and said, yes, he has a problem? And I said, he's on SSI. Do you know what it takes to get that? How many doctors it took to diagnose him? I said, if all those people say he has a mental illness, and they're giving him money for it, then don't you think there's something to it? I mean, it's sad that I had to go the money route with my family to get them to, you know, say,
so,
oh, yeah.
So impressive for you. I'm so impressed with you advocating for him, though, and taking the time to get your family on board to the best of your ability and creating insight for them to your husband's condition. I mean, that was, you were, in a way, you were having his back while he was still in the foxhole.
Yeah,
you know, so many things that I wrote about in my book. Well, pretty much everything I wrote about in my book.
This is a good time to plug your book, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's plug her book. She wrote a phenomenal book. I read the book. She brought me a copy of it. I read it, A Stranger in My Bed. And this is about her story. The story is, I mean, she's glossing over right now the story, but the story is phenomenal. It's a book that's easy to read. It's compelling. It's engaging. It's wonderful. Enlightening. She goes over so many aspects of PTSD. I highly recommend this book. You can get it through Amazon and on Kindle, which I have both. Okay. There you go.
Good plug.
Carry on.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Carl Bott was one of the, he read my book before it came out, before it was published, and he was one of the endorsers of my book.
So was John Gray.
So was
John Gray. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus is an endorser of her book. She's got some, you know,
I
heavy lifters.
Did you?
Yeah.
Another topic. Yeah. So that book, again, is A Stranger in My Bed by Debbie Sprague. Yeah. Okay.
So some of the things I learned to how to make our holidays better, well, first of all, was educating my family, but then to recognize my husband's triggers. So if you are the loved one of a veteran, not a veteran, of anybody that's had a trauma that has post-traumatic stress disorder, or if you have it yourself, a really important thing is to recognize your triggers. For instance, if it's being around a crowd. What we did to help my husband is, first of all, if we were going to go someplace, I would get all the information I could. How many people are going to be there? What are they having to eat? Is it going to be inside? Is it going to be outside? So anything I could find out ahead of time so I could answer his questions so we could make a plan. Before we walked out the door, we made a plan. it would be, okay, you want to take two cars? Because I want to stay all night. I want to stay to the end of the function, whatever it is. So would you like to take two cars? And it's okay if you need to go home. And so sometimes we'd take two cars. Sometimes it would be something that I say, you know, it's okay if with me if we just stay a little while. So if you're getting uncomfortable, give me the sign. And we'd decide what that sign was going to be, and then we'd gracefully leave. At least that we showed up. And I would keep my eye on him the whole time that we were at a function, and I knew him well enough by then to see if he was getting stressed. And I had things that I knew I could do to help him. So we'd use those tools. If it was, Randy, why don't you go step outside for a while? Go take a walk. Whatever it was that I knew he needed, I would go and remind him to use the tools that he had. And what that did for us was I wasn't angry with him anymore because I understood. And then he felt comfortable going with me to whatever, the dinner of the function, whatever it was. And that's not just the holidays, but all year long. He felt comfortable to go because, he knew I had his back. Mm-hmm. He knew that he should
comfortably.
He
sure did have his back in a brilliant way.
Yes, thank you. So we were partners. We were partners through sorry for the distraction. She saw the moment for taking a break.
We're having a break again.
Let's take a break.
Hold that thought. We'll take a break. Okay, everybody, hang on. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW Post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m. VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude and thanks for your support.
Hey, we are back now with the Ask Elle Show. This is Ron Lim, the co-host speaking. We are brought to you by Heavenly Donuts, our favorite donut shop.
I dream about them sometimes.
You dream about donuts?
I daydream about Heavenly Donuts.
Daydream. Well, you can have them delivered by DoorDash or a Grubhub, and they'll do the free first.
Why don't we have donuts in the studio tonight?
Oh,
Katie's
here with us. She didn't bring donuts. Thank you for reminding me. Next time you better bring donuts. Okay. And so if you'd like to listen to us on the radio on your phone, KCNR1460.com, or you can call in at 530-605-4567. And I forgot to mention that you can go to Heavenly Donuts 24/7 to the drive-through window or the walk-up window or the lobby, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. They have more things than just donuts. They have some breakfast goodies, too. So, before we took the break.
And you can text.
Oh, yeah.
Text
we can text the
Because I'm getting texts, and I want to read one of them really quick. Text is 707-499-8999. It's just a quick text from Joni, who says, this woman is my new hero. Oh, my God. What a story. So,
oh, wow.
She's on the East Coast. You're touching people far and wide. Thank you so much.
East Coast.
Yep.
We're reaching that far. Wow.
Well, Facebook. Facebook, it goes out broad. It's a pretty wide net we cast on Facebook.
Wow.
We know people.
Well, good. Great. Okay, so
yeah, I want to share that. She's Debbie's going to continue on with her
point. Just
her
so she knows we have one more segment here, like about 10 minutes
yeah,
or so.
A little under 10 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you. So just a couple more things I wanted to share about holidays, and then I'm going to let Elle kind of open up to more fun.
Yeah, good, because I have some questions for you.
Sounds good. So I think, as someone that is a loved one or a friend of someone that's suffering from PTSD, the most important thing that I found that you can do during the holidays or that you can do year-round is to practice lots of patience, lots of compassion, and lots of understanding. And also to communicate with your loved one about your needs, to take care of yourself, to attend activities, to go out with your friends, to do things that bring you joy, and help them understand that it's something you need to do for yourself, and that when you can take care of yourself, you're going to be much better able to be patient and have the space to take care of them. And if there's something that you want to do, especially during the holidays, you know, we have lots of traditions. We have things that we want to do with our friends. And to just have a really heartfelt talk and say, you know, I know you don't want to do this, but this is important to me. My family has gone to church Christmas Eve for my entire life. I know you're not comfortable with that many people, but I'm going to go, and I appreciate you understanding that. So just really being able to be compassionate and get that understanding. I found that to be really helpful because I didn't ever want him to feel guilty about not going someplace with me. And I didn't want to feel guilty for going without him. So really to have that conversation just so that you're both on the same
page.
Pretty
simple.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Very remarkable, too.
And then also living with PTSD can be life-destroying if you don't take time to take care of yourself.
That isolation factor is real. That struggle is real. Mm-hmm.
The isolation, yes.
For some people with PTSD, they want to isolate and, you know, to draw in and avoid everything. And it becomes very lonely, even sitting at home, not wanting to go somewhere. You're in a person's mind, like, they feel that. They feel the depression of not actually wanting to go somewhere. It's almost like they're thinking, I want to go somewhere, but I don't want to go somewhere. You know, I want to go somewhere, but I can't. My brain won't handle it. And then they're at home, and then they're, you know, it doesn't make them any better. They are depressed because they actually really do want to be there. They just can't get there.
Yeah. And it's not wanting to live your pain in front of other people. You know, it's wanting to not have to put other people through the agony of witnessing your pain and then trying to rescue you. There's a lot to navigate there.
Before we go any further, you're talking about the support group. Some people want to know how to get in touch with that group or where to go to the support group that you go joined up with. What's it called?
It's called Family of Yvette, and actually they aren't still in existence.
Oh, no.
So, unfortunately, the head of the organization, Brandon, got some really serious health issues. But most of the people most of us that were part of Family Vivette ended up becoming part of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. Senator Dole, when Bob Dole was in 2010, was in Wall Street Hospital for over a year, and she met some young Iraq, Afghanistan war veterans and their spouses, and wondered what's going to happen when they get home. Who's going to be their support system? And she found out that there wasn't a support system for the caregivers. So she started a foundation called the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, and she, a lot of the ladies from Family Brevet were the original 12 people that she brought in to help her with this. And I was brought in 2014 as a fellow from the state of California. So Senator Dole wanted to have a representative from each state to be the face of the caregivers, to get input, to help with legislation. It's been an amazing, amazing experience for me.
So is this like where you would send people that say, I need to get more help, support?
They have
other people.
They have a Facebook page called Hidden Heroes. And this is basically for caregivers. But when Elle and I were talking before the show, she was asking about resources for people with PTSD. I do have a whole list of them. However, I didn't bring them. But I'm going to send it to Elle, and she's going to put it on her Facebook.
Post
she's
going to look for the Facebook post if you want.
Yes, right.
And I'll be tagging you in it, too. Okay. And I can tag you, too.
Tag me.
All of us here.
So we'll get that information out.
All right, thank
I
you.
Want to we had a guest last week, and you listened to that podcast, Debbie, and Hope is just phenomenal. Her story is incredible. A different story than yours, but still very compelling. And she just texted in, and hi Hope, I just love you. Thank you for texting in, and she is texting in that she's enjoying the show and connecting with you, Debbie, because her husband is also a disabled Vietnam veteran. And he has PTSD as well. It's in a different form than hers, than what she suffers from. And the isolation, as you just said, is very depressing. So thank you for bringing that that up, Jennifer. And just
for
bringing up these issues that hopefully over the next few weeks we'll be able to dig into and unveil and find support.
Well, hopefully we're reaching a lot of people that need help.
Yes. More and more and more. It's growing.
Yeah, it's growing. It's crazy what this subject is doing.
Yes.
But hey, Hope, I just want to remind you that Katie here says, you know, you can have some donuts when you come.
Anytime, Hope. Anytime. You let me know when you come to Reading.
So, I'm curious now, if I may, we only have a couple of minutes. So you wrote the book in 2013, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so can you catch us up on what's happened since you wrote the book in 2 minutes?
2 minutes, okay. Life doesn't stop when you're living with PTSD.
Yeah.
So lots of things have happened. At the same time, I was dealing with my dad's health issues, learned that my mom, who I knew had some memory issues, I learned that she had severe dementia, which we didn't really know till I was spending lots of time with her when my dad was sick and hospitalized. Lost my first grandchild, but now I've got three beautiful grandchildren, which has been a real blessing in our life. My husband lost the therapist that he had here in Reading who did an amazing, amazing job with him. But that therapist was contracted with the VA, and the VA, in their wisdom, decided to get rid of all their contractors. And then my husband quit going to therapy. He still stayed on his medication, but he started sliding downhill. So things got worse, and of course he was aging. And Agent Orange, he started getting more health conditions. Ended up with a really bizarre brain issue, call it AVM. So I had to have brain surgery, and that just started a whole another cycle of health issues, dementia, hallucinations. It just kind of goes on and on. Very impulsive behavior, so he had a number of injury falls, which required hospitalization and rehab. And then he did pass away in April, April. So,
man, you have been through it. You have been through it. And thank you for being so brave to come on here, share your story. And again, I just want to promote her book, Stranger in My Bed, by Debbie Sprague. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Jennifer, thank you for coming by.